Grace and peace to you from the one who creates and sustains all things. Amen. In the time that the gospel was written and Jesus tells these, quote, parables, although technically he's not telling a parable, he's giving advice. In those times, unlike now, it was a system of honor and shame. We don't have anything like that in this modern age. But in those days, this honor and shame culture dominated. And in that culture, if as Jesus says, you think too much of yourself and you are invited to a lower place, that's a bad thing. So Jesus says to those who are gathered there that day, he says, you know, if you go to a banquet, because he's watching everybody come in, and they're all headed up to the head of the table, because the place of honor at the banquet is at the right and left hand of the host. They're all working their way up to the front, and Jesus is wondering what that's all about. So he says to those who are gathered, he says, you know, when you get invited to a banquet, you maybe shouldn't go right to the front of the line because you run a social risk, something you would never do in our day and age. You run the risk that maybe you've seen this happen at a wedding. I mean, I have no concept of social graces because of my family. You know, my family, you sat as close to the mashed potatoes as you could. So, like, you go to a wedding, for instance, and until I became a pastor, I didn't know what weddings were all about, but you go to a formal wedding, I'm always thankful when they have the little things with my name on it, because I know where to sit. Because there have been occasions when you maybe have gone to a wedding, and you're just chatting and drinking your wine, and you sit down, and then the usher comes and says, oh, I'm sorry, that's reserved for Aunt Frieda. And then you stand up and everybody's looking at you, nodding their head. Yeah, they thought a little too much of themselves. It's embarrassing for us. But in Jesus' time and culture, it could be devastating. So he says to people, instead of going too high, sit all the way at the back like you were a Lutheran. And, and then wait, because then what will happen is they'll say, you know what, Aunt Frieda didn't show. Why don't you come and sit higher up? And then you get up and you get to walk by and say, yeah, I got called higher. No embarrassment. None of these things ever happen in our day and age. So I can understand why you might be confused, unless you've ever been to a school or to work. Those of you who are teachers among us know that the playground, except at whatever school these children go to, the playground has territories. The playgrounds have territories. And the cool kids get to hang out by the monkey bars back before, of course, they outlawed them. And or the swings, which you can't find anymore. But they all got to be cool, and that's where you went, and you got invited into that group. Why don't you come hang out with us? But if you were a geek, you were kind of over in the corner by the fence in the dark part. And it's amazing the social strata that happens on a playground. If you're a teacher, you know that you battle that all the time, trying to help kids realize their potential. Now, of course, this never happens in the workplace for adults. It could never happen to you as well. It's just this whole parable is so removed from your daily experience, I'm not sure even why you're here. Or maybe not. In the workplace, the same is true. There are concentric circles, right? Maybe it's not marked out in chalk where you're supposed to be, but there are social strata in the workplace, in our families, and in our relationships. We, in fact, are trained from day one to know exactly where we belong. And when we make the mistake of beginning to step out of that where we belong, sometimes we're asked to a lower place. Now, I remember the playground very well. I grew up in Arizona, and in our playground, when you were in fifth and sixth grade, because we had K through 12, fifth, sixth, and seventh, you worked your way up the social strata, right? And they actually had the sixth grade area, the seventh grade area, and the eighth grade area. And then those were divided into the people that mattered and all the rest. I was all the rest until eighth grade. I grew about 2 feet, I think, that summer. And suddenly, I was cool. Yes, don't be shocked, there was a time. I've been regressing ever since, but in eighth grade, I was cool in eighth grade. And when I stepped over that chalk line into being cool, it never occurred to me to ever look back. And think about all the people on the dark side of the playground. I was never called to compassion or care or anything. I was on the cool side, the head of the table. In the gospel lesson for today, Jesus calls our whole structure into question. And Jesus says in this honor and shame culture, not only if as you go to the banquet should you not hope to be at the highest place and then suffer the shame of being to ask to go to the bottom, but you should just start there. Go to the back pew like a good Lutheran and wait. You're very good. Twice a year when someone ventures to the front pew, I think to myself, we should ask them to go to the back. Except for Inge. So Jesus doesn't say a parable. He reminds us of what the kingdom of God looks like. In the kingdom of God, we begin in humility and care so that God, who always does this every time, invites us to the highest place of all, the presence of God, to sit at the right and the left hand of God. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He also tells the person who's serving the banquet something terribly radical. So imagine you are now Donald Trump. For the men, I'm really sorry. Bad hair, it's okay. Imagine that for a moment that you're Donald Trump and you're going to throw a business meeting. Who do you invite? Sure don't invite me. You might invite Bob, but you definitely wouldn't invite Randy because he's just a teacher. Right? You would invite the people who would be of greatest benefit to you and your business. It makes sense, except in the kingdom. In the kingdom, Jesus says to the person throwing the banquet, don't invite people who can pay you back, whether they're relatives or business people or community people. Invite those from the lowest strata who cannot reward you. He turns it on its head. And he calls us that when we step over that chalk line on the playground, that we remember in compassion those who never got that opportunity and call them up. Well, how can we do that? Well, if we had all our teenagers here, and actually I picked on Sophie this morning, imagine if you saw someone being picked on by the cool kids at the playground or outside the class. And when they had walked away, because you may not have the courage to say, hey, cut it out, you're a bunch of dweebs. What if you came up to them afterwards and said, I'm really sorry that happened. I want to be your friend. What if you could do that? In this day and age, what if on Facebook, and I credit David Lowe's for some of this, David said, you know, what if on Facebook you observed someone trashing someone on a Facebook account. And please don't ever underestimate how much damage gets done when teenagers and adults start behaving badly on Facebook. We have recorded dozens and dozens of suicides of young people because they were trashed on Facebook. It's that important. But imagine if you then would call that person and say, just ignore it. Or you post on Facebook, you people who are saying these things, please stop it. What if you came to the defense of someone you might not even know very well and turned the system on its head for the sake of the kingdom? You can come up with a million of your own examples. But to be called up in the gospel is also to be encouraged and in fact told to bring others up in the gospel as well. See, I think when Jesus does this, quote, parable, it's not just some generic idea that we should all welcome everybody, but it's specific. It's specific that the kingdom looks at the world in a different way. And when we don't look at the kingdom in this new way, there are consequences. I experienced that consequence this Thursday. I got a call from my brother Lowell who said, hey, I just got a call from our friend Jeff, another Jeff. We were all in church together. Luther League. Oh, good Lord, do you remember that? Luther League. We were in Luther League together. And he said he's going to the auction of our home church. And I said, auction? What are you talking about? He says, they're selling out. They've gotten so small, they're so broken, that they're selling the building to the Armenians. And they're going to meet in a classroom. And I said, so what's Jeff going to the auction for? And he said, I'll be right back. He said, he wants to buy one of these. And he said, you know, those things that the acolytes use to light the candles. And he says, what are those called? And I said, the stick they use to light the candles when they're acolytes. I looked it up. There is no name for this. It's a candle lighter. I got to come up with a good name for it. And I said to him, but Lowell, Jeff hated being an acolyte. Why would he want that? It's just this grief over seeing his church die. The church that we grew up in with 70 kids running around. We had 30 in our high school group. This wonderful, vibrant place that died not out of neglect, but because they got leadership who invited the members to leave. It was really painful. I've watched it the last few years. And my mother's friends who know I'm a pastor call and say, what can we do? We've been invited to leave. We've been told not to come back. It's like going to the banquet and being told, you don't have a ticket. Go away. Because they maybe didn't agree with the direction the congregation was going. Or maybe they just had a different opinion, or maybe they looked funny. I don't know what it was. But again and again, I kept hearing the same story. You're not welcome here. Go away. And last Thursday, they auctioned the building. There are real consequences. Real consequences. When we don't sort of see the kingdom and the church and life in the way of Jesus. That every one of us is called to the banquet, called up to the highest place, and that each of us has a gift to give. That this Christ, who in Hebrews is described as the same yesterday, today, and forever, which is usually a phrase that's brought up, it's a quote that's brought up to say why we can't change anything in the church. It's true. But it says, no, what it says before, remember your leaders and those who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Imitatio Christi. That we are generous and generously welcomed. That we are called into the abundance of God. So it's your playground. There you are, in your work and in your life and in your school, and there are opportunities everywhere to call people up from the lowest places to receive the grace and love of God anew. Welcome to the banquet. Amen.